Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Jackie Jones. And Jackie is a holistic therapist who has been treating military service members and veterans for over a decade now. And she's here to discuss ways to help heal PTSD, moral injury, and a lot of other types of mental health injuries like that through this holistic approach that she has. So with that, welcome to the show, Jackie. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you bet. For the listeners maybe who aren't familiar with you and your background, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So I'm Jackie Jones. I am owner and practitioner of Flourish Momentum, integrative health and wellness for mind, body, soul, and space. So what I do in that, I typically work with people one-on-one, although I also work with organizations and provide different like corporate wellness groups, or I have different contracts with like different VAs or nonprofits as well. But typically, I work with individuals one-on-one and pull in my toolbox. So that's clinical art therapy, yoga and meditation, holistic health coaching, energy healing like Reiki and Feng Shui, so that we're really able to address the whole system and identify where the most significant block is at any given time, and have the tools to address that so that someone is always healing whatever is the root of what's keeping them stuck. But also I have the tools to help them move from that insight and self-awareness to actually embodying the shifts that they're trying to create in their lives. And just quick background so people know kind of how I got here. My first career was as an art teacher. I knew at five I wanted to be an art teacher, and I made that happen. I went into art therapy because as an art teacher, red flags would come up in artwork, and it wasn't my place to help the kids process through whatever was coming up. I kind of knew enough to know that things were being presented, but I had to pass the art on to guidance counselors, and I never got to be part of that processing, and which was important for me because I created the space where those things were coming up anyway. So and then other experiences too. I worked with homeless children in Brazil for a while, but from an art therapy perspective, and wish I had an art therapy or art education perspective, but wish I had an art therapy background for that. Anyway, fast forward, in school for art therapy, I wound up interning at the National Intrepid Center of Excellence at Walter Reed, and I was there for a year, and it was hugely impactful. There were a lot of reasons why I sought out that internship, and it was incredibly impactful. So I happened to be there when they started to break ground on the other NICO satellites around the country. And even though the art therapy was such a big component of the NICO program, the satellites were not initially going to have art therapy as part of their programs. And so I approached the National Endowment for the Arts and wound up getting pilot funding and kind of sold the services to Fort Belvoir, who was willing to let me come in and give it a shot. They weren't paying for it, so they really just had to have enough buy-in to give me a room. And within 3 months, was able to really prove my worth. And within a year, I went from being a contractor on a grant to being a full-time contractor through the NEA to being a GS, a total GS position. And then from there, it grew to having more art therapists and music therapists. And then these Intrepid Spirit Centers grew around the country. Eventually I wound up at Eglin Air Force Base too, when the Air Force was having their first center like this. And there I got to be the art therapist and the yoga and meditation teacher. So wound up leaving that in 2020 because of other situations going on. But from there, I started my private practice. And then even though I miss working within the military clinics, a benefit of working on my own now is I can pull in my whole toolbox. People aren't telling me what I have to use when, so I can really follow exactly what's coming up with the client and pivot as needed. And now I work with people virtually and in person. So they can be local or they can be far away.
Yeah, and that's great that your whole background kind of just led you to where you are now. All the way from, you said when you were 5 years old, you knew you wanted to be an art teacher, but little did you know that that was going to lead you onto the path that you you ended up on. So I think it's pretty incredible, how people fall into the career that they end up in. But we're going to get more into what it is that you do and the whole approach that you take in just a minute, but we're going to cut to a quick commercial break, so stay tuned.
Attention military veterans and families. Stand out in the job market with Monster Resume Writing Service. Get a custom resume tailored to your skills and career goals. Check out the link in this episode's show notes for more information.
So, Jackie, before I started this show, years ago when I first was starting this podcast and even before then, whenever I would hear the word holistic, which is, you know, part of what we're talking about here, what you do, I would think of some like new age hippie stuff. Like it definitely wasn't anything that you would associate with like any kind of treatments that you would get at your doctor's office. But that's, I guess that's not what it is at all. I mean, like holistic really refers to treating the whole person. That not just the individual symptoms maybe that they're dealing with, you're looking at the big picture and you're treating everything, because really we're all, I mean, everything is integrated. And so there needs to be that holistic approach where you're not just focusing on, you know, the squeaky wheel, and you're focusing on the other things that might be an issue because there's so much that's connected. Can you explain how your holistic approach, the approach that you take, earlier you were saying, you know, you're not bogged down by, you know, what other people are telling you to do now. So what your approach does to address the overall picture, the mind, the body, the soul, the spirit, the whatever you want to call it, of each individual to promote healing for whatever it is that they're going through on all these different levels.
Yeah, of course. So I think that in order to answer that, it can help to know why I added what I did when. Just personally and my personal life and the career life obviously are, you know, intertwined and influence one another. So growing up, I was always into art, would draw before I went to bed, fell asleep with art supplies in my bed. Like I was very into art. As I grew, especially into adolescence, art was like a home base for me. Like no matter what I was going through, I knew that I could create art about it and it would make me feel better. And it would kind of give me time and space to come down, like better understand my feelings and work through feelings that I would have about other people. And so I knew that there was some connection between art and psychology. Eventually I was in a used bookstore one day and just was following my interests, and the art section and the psychology section merged at like one book that was like their teeny tiny art therapy session, like section. So I knew that art therapy was a thing. I got that book. I read it. I became really interested in diving further. So I went to school. Initially, I have a master's in education, in art education, and I always wanted to do that. But for me, I knew that it was a stepping stone. People in my life who care about me were like, you're never going to get a job in art therapy. At least have this in your back pocket. And it was a really good experience. So I don't regret that at all. It did become a really important building block. But while I was in school for art education, and then while I became an art teacher, I was still looking toward art therapy. And, you know, even as a teacher, my first year teaching, I was already in night school again to get more prereqs that I needed to go to school for art therapy. And in becoming an art therapist, there's just such a different approach to art. So art as therapy, like just creating art, is very therapeutic. And then when you learn to take kind of the opposite approach, being in the process versus the product, you wind up really tapping into yourself at a soul level, really understanding what's going on in the subconscious, really understanding what's truly underlying the manifesting issues. And so I wound up, actually, when I left teaching, one of the pivotal things, the PTO president, he knew I was moving on to art therapy. And he said, no matter what you do, don't work with adult men because they won't get this at all. And so that kind of planted like a challenge in my mind. And there were a lot of other personal reasons that I sought out the internship at NYCO, but I kind of entered art therapy school with like, I will learn to do this with the people that I'm being told will not appreciate it at all. And
I like that kind of attitude that you have. It's like, well, someone tells me I'm not going to do this, so I'm going to do it harder. And that's what I'm going to focus on, is that.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure this happens.
Yeah, exactly. So I wound up getting an internship at NYCO, and it was huge. I think that it was, sorry, I just need to correct my headphones that are really falling down. Okay, so I think especially being in a context where you're working with people who either don't have the words to adequately express how they feel about something or about what happened, or have the words, but there's way too much. It's way too overwhelming to start to go there. It's just really powerful to be able to have art therapy as a modality that can ease people into opening up at the pace of their inner wisdom. Art therapy is really powerful because it slows you down. You can only create at a certain pace. So it's like self-moderated. You're expressing your own inner wisdom. So you don't have like a sword match with a therapist, like telling you what's going on with you, because you're the one that put it on the table yourself. It cuts down a lot of filters and defenses. So anyway, to come back to your question, I can go more into that later, but art therapy is really good at an outlet for genuine self-expression, at getting to the subconscious root of whatever issues are manifesting as problems or conditions. And it provides a really wonderful outlet to process through whatever needs to come up. And then we'll get more into that later, I know. But there comes a place where you can know what happened, you can know how you feel about it, you can know how it's affecting you. And you can know that you want to feel happier in your life, you can know that you want to feel more joy in your life, but you might have trouble accessing those emotions, especially if you haven't felt them for a long time. And so this is where the yoga came into play. So for me personally, and this is something that relates with a lot of clients, but personally, I was a really like type A, go, go, go. All of my exercise was endurance sports. I didn't think of yoga as being an exercise or like really worth my time. But I was getting some overuse running injuries, and I started seeing more and more that a lot of runners were getting into yoga in order to not get overuse injuries. And so, one year I kind of said to myself, my New Year's resolution was, okay, I'm going to do yoga one time a week, just see like how this goes. And then before I knew it, I was hooked. Like a lot of people who get into yoga have these periods of time that we all kind of collectively happenstance refer to as like the cry yoga phase, where like you drop into it enough that like you're in the middle of practice and you just start crying and you're not sure why. But that really helped me. That was powerful for me as a trained therapist. I've been in talk therapy for a while, had been in art therapy for a while, like kind of knew how to do all the tools on myself. But like this yoga class was making me cry. So that really woke me up to how much our emotions get stored in different parts of our body and how powerful it can be to release these repressed emotions that we have trouble accessing through these psychological means, just through the postures. And so then I got trained in that, and I took the job at Eglin because they were supportive of me becoming the yoga and meditation teacher as well. And so then I got to kind of start co-training within myself too. And then beyond that, those clients would see me, like I was their yoga teacher. I care about health. I think it's apparent when people spend time with me. So they would start asking me health related questions, and I'd have to say that's not my lane and kind of refer them to people who were. But when I left that job, I was taking care of my mom, who I was diagnosed with cancer at the beginning of the pandemic. And I got certified in integrative nutrition health coaching at that time as well, which actually played a really powerful role in my being able to care for her in certain ways. And then also to resolve some issues that I was having within, like my skin was angry, different things like that. I was able to resolve through that education. And then the last piece is the energy healing and the feng shui. So to connect it all, sometimes you can have the psychological understanding of what happened and how it's affected your life, but you still can't quite make the change you're seeking. Then you can release the emotions from your body, but something still has a hold on you. This is where the energy work really comes in to help clear whatever block is still there affecting you. And then the feng shui is really powerful as well, because it's like you spend all this time doing this internal work, but if your environment doesn't reflect it, it will keep pulling you back. So the feng shui is a really important component of what I offer now too, because I guide the people to work with their own space so that their environment is then lifting them beyond their work with a one-on-one provider.
And I think all of these pieces, a lot of them are not even things that I would even think about when I'm thinking about some of these issues. Maybe it's a PTSD type of issue that someone might have. In the back of my mind, these things might not even be stuff that I would have thought of. But like you were saying, a lot of times people are stuck with certain mm-hmm. issues and they can't seem to get past that. But again, it's not conventional wisdom or whatever you want to call it that you would think of whatever the environment that the person might be living in. You're not necessarily thinking of that as the issue or the thing that's keeping them stuck. And so it does take a approach like the one that you just described, where you look at all of these different factors and incorporate that into the treatment of the individuals. When we get back, we're going to cut to another quick commercial break, but when we get back, we're going to talk about maybe some challenges that especially military service members have when it comes to approaching types of treatments like the one that you were just describing. So stay tuned.
Make a heroic impact with the Hero Company. Support veterans with PTSD by purchasing jewelry, apparel, and more. Visit this episode's show notes or theherocompany.co/drive-on to learn more and be a hero for our heroes.
So, Jackie, I know you were talking about earlier, you were told as you were leaving your teaching career, don't work with adult men in this next field that you're going into, the art therapy, because they're just not going to get it. And as I think we all know, the military is comprised of a lot of adult males. And so I would imagine a lot of the clients that you were working with when you were working with military service members were in that category. What advice do you have for them and even the veterans who might be hesitant to go and explore this type of treatment that you were talking about, that you were just describing?
Yeah. So this is what makes my job challenging now. It was easier when I worked at the clinical environment and the other doctors and providers would be like, I know you don't want to go, but I'm putting it on your schedule. Just show up. Now, working for myself, it's much harder to get people through that door. So once people would come to one session, so first, can I curse a little bit if it's just to quote them? Okay. Yeah. So I'd have so many people coming in their first day. They just very blatantly say, why the fuck am I here? What the fuck is this hippie shit? Like, but honestly, in one session, I'd win them over and they'd be hooked and they'd come back. And my greatest tool for getting more clients was those people's word of mouth saying, you're not going to want to go. Just shut up. Just show up. It'll be really good for you. So I guess some word, like phrases that I hear from people often. So instead of me giving the advice, I'll just kind of pass on some words that veteran clients say often. Yeah. Is I've had so many people tell me, you know, I've been in all these other therapies, but honestly, they weren't working, and it's not because they were bad. It's because I didn't even like myself. So if I don't even like myself, why would I try to get better? But now, because of the work we did, I like myself, and now I'll start to implement the other things that I learned in other therapies. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of clients say, like, they refer to what I do as like a scalpel to the soul, like in a gentle way, but this stuff just gets right to the source of the issue. And so I've had a lot of people say, I wish I got in here a lot sooner, like we just did in one session, what has taken me years to work toward. I've had a lot of people say they don't think they'd be here anymore if it weren't for the work that we did together. So really powerful. And as far as the yoga goes, the way that they would get people to come to yoga, they would just... they would tell them, just go to yoga. She's going to make your butt sore. Like, she's going to make like muscles you didn't even know sore. And then, you know, that's how they get them in there. But then once they're there, you know, they tell me things like, I didn't even know that I could feel peace anymore. I didn't even know that I had the ability to quiet my mind anymore. I didn't even know that I had the ability to feel happiness or joy anymore. But I felt those things in here. And so if any of that resonates, you know.
Well, and I'm glad that you shared those messages from those people who have gone through this, and that's their feedback, and that's what they've said is all of that. Because, you know, part of the reason why I even do this show is to share different forms of treatments or therapies for a variety of things that people would never consider on their own without hearing stuff like this, like this type of message, because like you said, like a lot of times people are going to be like, what is this? Like, I'm not doing this. This isn't going to do anything for me. Right. Because it doesn't necessarily fit into that traditional way of thinking as far as different treatments go. But when you've tried all of the traditional ways of doing things and they're not working, well, it's time to start trying some untraditional ways of doing things and step outside of that box that you have in your mind for whatever these treatments are. So, yeah, you have to try that next thing. But hearing from other people who might have been in a very similar situation where they don't like themselves, and so why am I going to bother trying you know, any of these types of treatments, or I'm going to go to these treatments because someone's telling me to, but I'm not going to put in the full effort. You know, until you fix that, nothing's going to work, right? And so what you're saying is the treatments that you offer have that ability to cut through to whatever the root of that issue is, right? Now, once when you get people in the door and you're working with them, are there any common challenges that you have when working with military service members or veterans or any people like that with the type of work that you do?
Yeah, so I'll I want to answer that in a few different ways. So when I first started at Belvoir, for example, and it was new, and they didn't know who to send me. I found out later they just initially sent me everyone that they were having difficulty with, like everyone they didn't know how to have a breakthrough with. And I was able to make a lot of progress with them. So it helped them see the value added of this extra modality in the clinic. I think things that tend to come up a lot as challenges are that when people experience trauma, it's not stored verbally. So they experience something traumatic and it's not stored on a verbal level, because those are not the verbal parts of the brain are inhibited when you're experiencing trauma, because the places lower down in the limbic system are the places of your brain that are more active to keep you in survival. So your verbal areas of your brain become inhibited when you're experiencing something in particular that's traumatic. And then you go to get treatment for it, and oftentimes you're first given a verbal approach to address it. But a lot of times clients are made to feel like they're just being difficult, or they're just not being open, when they might literally not have the words to adequately explain what happened or how they feel about it. Or with a lot of the people we work with, they may have the words, but they might not be allowed to use them. They may not want to use them. So in either case, it's really important to have a nonverbal way of accessing that material and processing through that material. And for art, when you're art making, the same areas of the brain are more active. They're the same areas that are more active when you're processing trauma. So it feels like a backdoor approach because you don't have to rely on words, but it's actually, as far as the brain is concerned, it's actually a more direct route to that information. And so a lot of people wind up getting unstuck. They wind up finding the keys to what's been keeping them stuck in that place for so long. And other things, challenges.
I just want to kind of follow up on something that you were saying there. You know, how when you're doing the artwork as you're processing through these different traumas that you might be dealing with, I think one of the stuck points that I would imagine, you know, I know a little bit about this, so I'm kind of asking a loaded question here, but I know if I'm sitting on the other end listening to this interview right now, and I'm thinking, okay, this sounds great, but I don't have an artistic bone in my body. Mm-hmm. Does any of that matter?
No, not at all. So it's anyone can do art therapy. I literally was working with someone the other day who, you know, it was her first time doing art therapy with me. And she kept saying, you know, I don't draw, I'm not an artist, but I said, it's okay. Just keep going. And, in the end, you don't have to be like, you don't have to consider yourself a world famous artist to express things from deep within that we can make meaning from. And it wound up being an incredibly powerful session for her. I mean, there were parts of her picture that did not look how she wanted them to look, but it doesn't matter because the meaning is there and your subconscious drew it in a particular way. So You do not have to be an artist to do this.
Yeah, and I guess the point is you're not creating this artwork to hang it in a museum somewhere or in an art gallery or anything like that. That's not the intention of this. As a matter of fact, nobody ever has to see it outside of, you know, the session that you're in.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter if you're drawing stick figures, so long as you're getting the, you know, the benefit of the therapy. So for the audience right now who is hearing this message and is thinking to themselves, well, this sounds great, but I can't do that because I can't draw, I can't paint, I can't make any sort of artwork. Who cares? It doesn't matter. None of that matters, right?
Yeah. And what I always say, especially in the initial sessions, usually have a bunch of different art supplies, and I'll give a prompt that gives enough of a container that you're not lost, but allows enough freedom that you can explore. And I always say, don't even think about it as you're making art. Just think about it as you're solving a problem. And so many people in the military are naturally problem solvers, engineers, builders. Like, they make people who don't consider themselves artists create, magnificent things when they stop like trying to create art.
Right.
Just following their natural inclinations. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because it's trying to solve a problem. And, mm-hmm. Maybe if we just kind of reframe our minds and say, this is just a tool that we're using to solve this problem. You don't have to be, great at it. Like, I'm not the best, person who can hammer nails into things, but I can do it. It's just a tool, and I'll do it to accomplish that job. Whatever the tool may be, just use it to accomplish whatever the mission is or the objective. And in this case, it's getting the help that you need. We're going to cut to another quick commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about the benefits of these different forms of therapy. So stay tuned.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans can get major savings on clothing, electronics, food, and more. Don't miss out on the Veterans Canteen service and shop vcs.com.
So, Jackie, we were just talking about some of these different therapies that you provide. I want to talk about some of the benefits and ways that you find that, like, art therapy or yoga, how they are effective in helping service members, veterans, anybody really, in healing from PTSD or moral injury, anxiety, depression, pain, even different things that they may be going through. What are the end results? What are the benefits of these different forms of therapy?
Yeah. So when I was back at Belvoir, actually the whole time I was within the military, I needed to prove my worth, right? I needed to prove the unique value of art therapy in those settings. And so from the very beginning, I was involved with program evaluation and research and gathering a lot of pre and post data. And I would have clients answer a lot of questions, but part of what they answered was, I compiled the symptoms of PTSD and TBI and then had them rate improvement in those areas based on the influence of art therapy. And the top five, like most change due to work done in art therapy, were ability to experience positive emotions again, dealing with anger and guilt, improvement in feelings of depression or sadness, and feeling a sense of community, less alone, less isolated, and improvement in former avoidance of trauma-related things. And that's important. What I do isn't exposure therapy, but a lot of the things that I've written book chapters and done a lot of presentations nationally and internationally on using art therapy to treat complicated and disenfranchised grief in military service members. And the thing is, when you experience traumatic death or moral injury or survivor's guilt, these kinds of things, the natural processes that someone needs to go through to process through grief gets interrupted when they're avoiding anything related to the trauma. So that creates it creates chronic grief or chronic suffering. And so it's important to have these vehicles that create a space that is safe to address things that are typically avoided because they're painful, because you need to get through those things in order to move through it. And so art therapy provides a really good outlet for that, because as you're creating, you're naturally grounding. Just the act of art making is decreasing cortisol, it's lowering stress and anxiety. Same thing in yoga, you're actively grounding the whole time. And in a lot of the yoga I do with service members, it's I rest yoga nidra, which is getting them into a theta state. So if they're in an extremely relaxed, like lucid dreaming state where they're meeting what we call messengers, like messages from your inner wisdom that are things you need to meet. But in that state, you're just like in a blissful state meeting these things, and they're able to be met in a way that they can really be seen, heard, you get the message, then they can transform. And so things I've seen in yoga and art therapy is people who had, let's say, night terrors related to trauma, they dissipate, or things that used to wake them up in the middle of the night because they were reliving things, all of a sudden now after processing them through yoga, like meditation or art therapy, is even if that same subject matter comes back in their dream, they're witnessing it. They describe it more like I was watching a movie, so it didn't have the same emotional intensity as it did when I was reliving it.
I just want to take that part that you just talked about, where that intensity is kind of reduced, because I know from myself, my own experiences, and other people that I've talked to who have dealt with traumatic experiences, that sometimes when you're reliving those experiences, whether it's, in nightmares or even like flashback kind of things, that you might be dealing with, it feels like you're there. Like that's a difference for the listeners maybe who aren't familiar with this and haven't dealt with it themselves. The difference between what you're saying and, what the original experience is you feel like you're there, like you're going through that experience all over again. You feel, the heat of the sun, you feel the weight on your back if you're carrying something, if you feel all of these things as if you were there doing it all over again, as opposed to watching it as a third party, like you would mm-hmm. watching a movie. Those are two tremendously different things. And when you have that ability to kind of step back and away from that situation and just watch it as opposed to live it, it's got to be a world of difference, right?
Yeah. And then also I want to add to that there's also, especially with survivor's guilt or that kind of thing, people innately, like, we all go through things that cause pain. We all have painful experiences and we can move through pain. But when we hold on to that pain all the time, then it becomes suffering. And a lot of people innately know how to hold on to that pain as a way to be, honoring that person or helping them move forward. But what the art does that's really special is it allows you to create objects that are outside of you that are memorializing or honoring or commemorating you know, a person or a place or an event or an animal, whatever it is for you that you feel like you need to carry forward in a painful way, it allows you to create something that's separate from you that then you can put in an important place on your house or something, but then all of a sudden it's outside of you and you're still honoring it. You're still seeing it. You're still keeping the memory alive without suffering in order to do that. So it, yeah. I mean, even working with someone now who, we're even using feng shui to do that. So.
Yeah. And that I think is an important piece too, because I think what you're trying to accomplish here is not completely forgetting about mm-hmm. the incidents or, you know, the death or the trauma or the grief or any of that kind of stuff. Not, you don't want to forget about those things. And so, you know, when you go through these processes, any of these types of treatments, it's not like you're doing the Men in Black mind eraser thing, you know, mm-hmm. in the movie. Like, it's not like you're just going to completely forget about these things. Like, they still exist, but they're just going to exist differently so that you're not going through life suffering mm-hmm. every single day because you're carrying around the weight of whatever this trauma happened to be. And I know, like, especially in the case of survivor's guilt and grief over the death of somebody who might have been close to you, could be a loved one, could be a, you know, a person that you served with, doesn't matter, you know, who the person is necessarily. But I know there's that feeling like if I stop being sad about this, then that's dishonoring this person. But mm-hmm. you know, the that couldn't be further from the truth, because, like, think about anybody that you know who's living right now. Would any of those people, if they were to die tomorrow, any of those people want you to just be suffering for the rest of your life because of their death? Like, nobody would tell you that. It's like, yeah, you better be sad forever for this. Like, no, like, there's going to be that appropriate amount of sadness and grieving time period, but they're going to want you to move on with your life and live a happy life and, you know, not forget about them, but, you know, forget about the whatever is keeping you stuck in that place. And I think that's an important thing for people to understand.
Yeah. And also to be able to carry them forward with the positive aspects too. So what happens in complicated grief is you bury the memory because it's traumatic, it's triggering, but what gets buried is also the positives. And so I would do this project that really got started because a lot of clients were coming to me really frustrated that doctors were telling them to just move on or just to accept their new normal. And they were feeling like their whole identity, everything that was important to them, but up until that point, just wasn't acknowledged, wasn't important. And so I created this container project where on the outside, they could celebrate and honor aspects of self or career that they're proud of that they want to carry forward. And on the inside was a place to commemorate and memorialize aspects of self or people lost. And in doing that, they would, a lot of people have a lot of things at home that they don't throw away because they're important, but they don't go near because there's, you know, associated with negative memories. But in doing this project, it got a lot of people to go into those things. And in finding some of the more negative things, I think they were initially looking for like a blast fragment that was associated with an event or like things like that, that they knew they had, that they were going in because now they finally had a place for that. They would also wind up finding a lot of happy memories too, that they didn't realize they had buried. And so then they finish the project with something that is all of their feelings, but externalized. And so you don't have to be quite so fused with everything. Sure. It's honored. And then also they're moving forward, like laughing and joking with more memories that they didn't even realize that they had suppressed.
And that's a great benefit of all of this. I appreciate you sharing all of this with us. We're going to cut to another quick commercial break, so stay tuned.
Embrace your patriotism with the Patriot Box subscription box service. Join Patriot Box's community of proud Americans. Visit the link in our show notes for more information.
Jackie, it's been really great having you on the show. I want to try a new segment to close out this show, something I haven't done before. And just to kind of introduce it, what I am planning to do here going forward, and we'll see how this goes. But I mean, we've all heard that laughter is the best medicine. Whether it actually is or not, I don't know, but it does help sometimes. And sometimes after listening to the voices in our heads, we have trouble finding humor in everyday situations. So I want to try closing out the episodes with a joke, just something to lighten the mood after sometimes some heavy topics and things that are difficult to listen to. But before we get to the joke, first, Jackie, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Where can people go to get in touch with you and find out more about the work that you do to see if maybe it's the right fit for them?
Yeah, so I have a website. It's www.flourishmomentum.com. And then I'm very active on my Instagram page. It's flourish_momentum. And if you have any questions at all, just DM me through there or send me a note through the contact me on my website, and we'll set up a free 20-30 minute call to chat about what's going on with you and what would be a good direction for our work together. I also have over 100 free yoga and meditation videos on my YouTube channel. So that's youtube.com/Jackie Jones.
Well, that's excellent. And I'll have links to all of that in the show notes so that the listeners who are wanting to check any of that out, they can just check out the show notes, click the link there, and find the resources through the show notes. So thank you again for taking the time to join us. So, all right. So to close this episode, it's time for the joke. So a little boy was staring at these names on a plaque in an old church before the church service began. And the pastor noticed him doing that. So he walked up to him and asked, what are you looking at? And the boy replied, all those names up there, who are they? And the pastor smiled and he said, well, they're the names of people from this congregation who died in the service. And the little boy thought for a moment and then he got a really worried look on his face. And he asked very quietly, to the pastor, he goes, which one? Was it the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock service? Some of these jokes are probably going to be pretty corny. I don't know. As I do these, they'll probably get better. But thank you for at least indulging me in a laugh there.
Of course.
All right. Well, Jackie, it's been great having you on, sharing the benefits of the different types of treatment that you offer. I think will help people kind of push them in that right direction to seek that out if they've tried other things and it hasn't worked for them. Maybe there's something keeping them stuck and there's a reason for it. So thank you again for taking the time to join us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.